our final story. No Big Friday interview today. Instead, we're going to talk about the future of local football. Tomorrow, of course, one of the biggest days in the local football calendar, the fifth round of the Irish Cup. Bit of cup romance for all you romantics out there. There's a potential maybe for an upset when the juniors get the chance to take on some of the big boys. But overall, where is the domestic game going in Northern Ireland? Attendances have been on the decline. Many of the grounds are in need of a facelift, and some clubs have suffered well-documented financial difficulties. So what are the problems? Why is it a struggle to get people through the turnstiles these days? And where do those casual supporters who turned up maybe to watch the big Boxing Day games disappear to during the rest of the season? I want your views this morning. 08459 555 678, whether you attend the matches regularly, or indeed if you don't attend, can't attend, or simply won't pick up the phone this morning. Now, from this season on, the Northern Ireland Football League is overseeing the domestic game here. That's the Danske Bank Premiership and the Belfast Telegraph Championship. The chairman of the Northern Ireland Football League is Adrian Tier. An independent board member is the former Linfield defender Peter Dornan. They're both with me in the studio this morning. Also on the line, former player, manager and regular Radio Ulster match analyst Liam Beckett. Adrian, if I can start with you, explain where we are here, this new company. Is this a sort of a seizing of the moment, you feel, a chance to look at potential change now that you've been given a degree of power?
Very much so, Joel. I should explain that the new company was set up in the summer as a result of an article change by the Irish Football Association, which meant the association could no longer administer domestic league football.
So that's in the hands of the clubs now?
So it's now in the hands of the clubs, which we very much welcome. It gives the board of the Football League, NIFL as we're affectionately referred to, the opportunity now to sit down and analyse where are we. You've highlighted a lot of the problems that have blighted the game over the last 10, 15 years, arguably. This is our opportunity, coming in afresh, to sit down. We've got a clean sheet of paper. We are starting off, as you are aware, with a series of focus group consultations. In December, we spoke to the managers and the chairmen of all 42 clubs that embrace NIFL. We have further consultations this month planned with fans, with media, with broadcasters and with sponsors. So we're garnering the opinion of all the key stakeholders in Irish League football. Where should we go? What's the way ahead? What's the best way to go? And there are all sorts of ideas being tossed up. The season's wrong. We should be playing in the summer like they are in the south. We should be varying our kickoff times. We should be playing Sunday football. Everybody has an idea if you speak to them. We have got to decide in conjunction with UEFA, and you're aware that UEFA are assisting us in the league structure review. We've got to decide what we feel is the best way forward for Irish League football.
I mean, we can go back, Peter, and you know, we could probably spend this half hour going and talking about the good old days when you were pulling a pair of boots on and the big crowds and all that sort of thing. But it's about the future. You know, what's happened in the past and what has been wrong. It has a part to play, because obviously you don't want to repeat it. But hearing from the fans, and that's why that's maybe important this morning. How do you get them back? How do you entice them back? How difficult is it going to be? Is it the product? Is it the facilities? Is it the time that matches are played? What is it?
Well, I think there's nothing worse than an old footballer saying, "Well, in my day, I used to do that." So I think we just forget about that now and try and move forward. Yeah, the crowds are substantially down from years ago, etc. I think it's an amalgamation of things. Even going back to the troubles, people say we've missed a generation. It's the competition, Sky TV. We forget the fact as well that a huge amount of people playing football or interested in local soccer are actually playing the game on a Saturday afternoon.
That's a point that's come up quite a bit.
They're not going to go to a match when they're playing a game.
That's a point that's come up an awful lot on Twitter, and there may be people who want to make that very point this morning, 08459 555 678. But they're saying that an overwhelming majority of your target audience, your prime target audience, are actually playing football at the same time that your matches are being played. So how do you change that?
Well, it's crazy. And I don't, you know, with all due respect to junior football aren't going to help us out here. Junior football are not going to change all of their leagues to Sunday football. Can you imagine that happening?
Well, there's an uneasy relationship between senior football and junior football.
Well, I have to say there is. Now, I haven't had particular experience of that because I've been out of the game from the administrative point of view for some time, but I'm feeling it now. There is an uneasy alliance. But we're both going to have to work together. for the betterment of football as a whole here in Northern Ireland.
So as a starting point, Adrian, do you accept that if that is going to change and you are going to put yourself in a position where those people who do play football currently at the same time, your club, Glenavon, for instance, is kicking off, it's not a change that's going to come from the juniors. It's going to have to be a change from your clubs and moving when they play their games from Saturday at 3 o'clock.
It looks very much like it, Joel. What seems like maybe 15 years ago, Roy McMahon, my counterpart at Portadown, and myself met with the Mid-Ulster Football Association in an attempt to have their Saturday afternoon games moved to Saturday morning, but it was a no-no. So you're quite right. I think if the NIFL is going to have to change, the clubs under NIFL are going to have to change. They can't compete with amateur football, with non-league football.
Liam Beckett, you've played the game, you've managed the game, you now work on BBC Radio Ulster following the game, you write about the game in your column in the newsletter. Where does the change need to come from? What should be the priorities, do you feel, here?
Morning, Joel. Well, I welcome, first and foremost, the arrival of the new body, obviously tackled with the challenge of reviving local football, the Northern Ireland Football League. I do like the personnel. I like the makeup of it. I like the chairman, Andrew Johnson. I think they're enthusiastic, and I think they want to address the issues that really count, Joel. I think what we're seeing now is, to be honest, are the effects of far too many years' poor governance. And we can't get away from that fact. I know we're looking forward, but you know, for far too long, the emphasis by the Irish Football Association, I feel, was placed on our international team and the local bread and butter product, being the domestic local football scene, to be honest, has been neglected, Joe. And it's in an embarrassing state now, and we all know that. And I think that the arrival of the new body is the way forward, there's no doubt about it, because they're going to consult with people, they're going to be open, they're going to be transparent. They're going to talk to the people that matter in football, the people who try to make ends meet every Saturday, the fans, and football's nothing without fans, Joel. And, you know, you don't treat fans with contempt, and I think for several years now they have been treated with contempt. I do agree with the issues the boys are on. I've said it for years in my column. There has to be some alternative found to alternate the timing of youth and junior football with senior football. You can't have them all kicking off on a Saturday afternoon.
So when would you play Irish League football? When would you see senior football played?
I'm a non-starter for Sunday football, Joel. And that's not down to religious beliefs. That's down to the very fact that we are... You know, Peter and I have discussed this recently, and we know we're never going to return to the figures and the attendances that we had when we played. We know that. But there are fans out there that we can get. And I honestly suggest that the Sunday football, there's no mileage in it for me, because one of our main competitions all the time now is satellite television, giving us wall-to-wall coverage of English Premiership football matches. And on a Sunday in particular, it's wall-to-wall coverage from noon until 6 p.m. Now, why we would ever want to try and compete with that, I have no idea. That's a non-starter for me. We've got to contemplate possibly summer football. We've got to start letting kids in free, Joel, along with fair-paying adults, or admission-paying adults. Because let's be honest, they're not going to take anybody's seats up, the kids.
Well, funny, today's
kids, Joel, are the next generation of football fans.
On that very subject, Eddie's on the line this morning, 0845955678 on the phone this morning. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well. What's your take on this, Eddie?
Joe, I used to go to matches. My dad double our... This is obviously a pretty good job. I remember we used to get the over for 250, 350. It's all about money now. Good the football matches.
So you think cost is an issue?
Cost, yes.
Okay, it's not a great line. Harry's also on the line this morning. Morning, Harry.
Good morning, Joe.
Harry, are you an attender or a sort of a lapsed member of Irish League football, perhaps? I don't know.
I would go sometimes to games, Joe. The main reason I can't really get along too much is... number one, I have a son who's a player at a junior level, and number two, I'm also involved in coaching, so that takes up quite a lot of my time on a Saturday, but I do go...
Well, that's an interesting point in itself in terms of your involvement at another level of football. Exactly what we've been talking about would maybe prohibit you from going to watch a game on a Saturday.
Well, I mean, if you're out, say, for going to an away game, you know, at junior level, you know, you could be out, you know, away from 8 o'clock in the morning to maybe 1 o'clock.
Do you think that's a major factor, that the, if senior football was to kick off at a different time to all the other football? I mean, it's been loads of texts and loads of tweets on this very subject, that you would actually say, I mean, is there any guarantee that those people who are playing in those games would actually go to an Irish League match?
Well, I think you might get more, Joe, but there's two points I would like to make very quickly. Number one, a number of people that I talk to, a big turn-off as far as Irish League football is concerned is the enormous amount of foul language and chanting that goes on, you know, both from individuals and sometimes from groups of fans, you know, directed at opposition players.
Although you would say that that's not exclusive to football in Northern Ireland.
No, but I've been over to games in England, you know, and you know, I took my wife with me and she enjoyed it. I mean, I took her to an Irish League game once, and the chanting and so on that went on was just disgusting, to be
so
honest.
So specific areas where you could go as a family, maybe, in terms of inside the ground would be...
Well, I think they've tried that, but I mean, you're still going to hear it, you know, and I really think, you know, that the clubs need to address that. I mean they're very strong on racist language and sectarian language, and you know that there's an announcement made every day week that this will not be tolerated. I really think, you know, that they need that's an issue that they need to start to address. I don't think you get that at rugby matches.
Let me put that to Adrian Tierney. Adrian.
Joel, can I just make another quick point?
Okay, yes,
going
ahead. Yes.
The other thing is, I'm fully in agreement with Liam Beckett on Sunday football. I cannot see how we would possibly compete, against the wall-to-wall coverage from Sky. I think possibly that moving to Friday night might be better, and I also think that we should seriously consider Sunday football.
Okay.
Hope that's helpful. Thanks, Joel.
No problem. Adrian? Right.
Joel, could I just comment on the two people who rang? First of all, Eddie, who talked about the cost of football. Irish League football, actually, the costs have remained more or less static for longer than I can remember. It's only £10 for an adult to get in to see Premier League football in Northern Ireland. You'd pay more than that to go and watch Stranraer or Albion Rovers in Scotland. Secondly, in relation to the last caller...
What about kids, though? I mean, a lot of people saying kids should have been getting in the Irish League grounds free of charge for years, and we've missed at least one, maybe two generations by not doing that.
Well, my own club has several initiatives for kids during the year. We select the games... excuse me. We select the games accordingly, and for a pound...
Could you not do that for... You know, could that not be a major initiative where every Irish League club is letting youngsters under 16 in for free?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's maybe one of the initiatives, certainly, that NIFL can consider as a result of this review that's ongoing. But what I'm saying is, we are one of the clubs, and I'm not saying we're alone, we're certainly not, but we are one of the clubs that have tried initiatives to bring young people in, and we've had to pick and choose our games, obviously. In relation to the last caller there and the business about the chanting and the foul language and so forth, you probably hear it more if there's only 5,000-6,000 people in the ground. But if you go to many of the major stadiums in England, if you go to Old Trafford, you go to Villa Park, you go to the Emirates, you will hear it from certain sections of the crowd. And let's be honest, there are certain sections in those grounds, if you had the power to buy a ticket, you would not want to sit in, because they do chant and they do go on and they do use foreign language. If you're sitting with... in the more costly seats, you won't hear it.
So how do you get around that? Because you're not going to be getting more costly seats.
I mean, the IFA, they prefer them, as the caller mentioned, has been very proactive in this and trying to stamp it out. And it's up to clubs at local level, and we work very, very hard on this in relation with the local PSNI and our stewards, that anybody steps out of line, we have a zero tolerance policy.
Alan's in Portadown this morning. Hope, Alan, you're not going to self-combust having to speak maybe to the Glenavon chairman this morning now. I hope it's not going to cause any issues.
Well, I don't know. May have caused these issues, all right, but just as far as Sunday football is concerned, totally opposed against Sunday football as far as our churches are concerned. You see, what about our churches in Northern Ireland? There's loads of BB companies, and a lot of guys, young guys. I love the BB myself. I played football on Saturday morning. It was absolutely fantastic on the Milk Cup and Coleraine and all that. It's absolutely superb for young guys, you know, discipline and all that. But Sunday football is a daffy and uno, because our Sunday schools, which are connected to our churches, our four denominations, whatever they are depleting on the rampant. And the young people are all going off to football matches on a Sunday morning, and then all the more reason not to have Sunday football. Is this a foul language and on this desecration?
The thing about I think
people will see that.
There are a number of issues around Sunday football and when you're going to play games, Peter Dornan, and it's part of the idea of having a consultation is going to be, you know, you get 15 people in a room, you're going to get 15 different views. And Sunday football here, whether it be for the reasons that Alan has outlined, or indeed the reasons that Liam has outlined, in terms of you are taking on football on the busiest day of televised football on your TV, you know. So it's a massive talking point.
Yeah, but could I just...
No, it's for Peter Dornan. Sorry, Alan.
It's been a contentious issue here for years. Don't ask me why, but it has. Anyway, we have to deal with it. Now, I'm not saying or advocating we change the whole league programme to a Sunday. What I'm saying is we should be more flexible.
Well, senior clubs do have that choice at the
moment.
Yeah,
of course they have, but both clubs have to agree. So if one club disagrees with that, the game can't go ahead on a Sunday. That, again, is something which we as NIFL might have to look at. However,
you can't force teams to play a game when you don't want to play one. Because a Friday night, what happens on a Friday night? Do both clubs have to agree?
If the home club gives 4 weeks' notice to the opposition, the match goes ahead on the Friday night.
So the rules regarding a move from a Saturday to a Friday night are different than the rules to move to a Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
which I have my own personal views on. However, take for example a few weeks ago, there was no football on Sky TV at all. Would that, for example, just to generate debate, would that have been a good time to have a complete Irish League programme on that Sunday? A one-off?
Okay. Bill's at Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Good morning. Listen to a few points that are made. My biggest example is when matches are played specifically, like a league, like a Premier League and a Championship could play, maybe during the summer months.
But so you would move like they did down south and move to a summer league?
I think it would be, because if you look at the actual stats on a Boxing Day there, when all the derbies are played, and not just because derbies, because junior football and amateur league football is not being played, the gates are up tenfold. They're up tenfold, and the crowds at every one of those matches are way, way up. Also, I'll give you an example. A guy who has maybe a son playing football there is not going to attend an Irish League match when his son's maybe playing in Amateur League or Championship. I'd like to go and watch them. I've done it. I have four sons that played, and that's exactly. I used to follow Irish League right up until a couple of years ago. Went and then started following. But the thing is,
but Bill, what about the assumption? Is it a big assumption to make that all these people who are playing, or a lot of them who are playing and watching their family members, would automatically go to an Irish League game?
I think a lot of them would. I think a bigger percentage of them would, because they are football minded. They are into it. I mean, and the thing about it, like I say, Sky TV. Sky TV saved English football, but it's killed the Irish League. And let's be honest about that. Guys in Iceland, I'll sit in the club, you're going to pay a tenner in, and sit here. It's a rainy day like today. You're going to sit there and go, I'll watch Premier League match, English Premier League match, hundreds of millions of pounds worth of talent.
What would be your Irish League club, Bill? What would be your Irish League team?
Linfield.
And when was the last time you went to see them?
Honestly, Boxing Day, and that was the first in a year, but maybe about a year and a half. And that's,
so you are an ideal example of the person that NIFL would be looking to target in terms of that sort of casual passing interest supporter, almost, I call them.
Well, I'll just get to the point. I've got to the point that I was actually involved in the Championship team, and that's the problem. That was the reason I'd moved away from following them. But if that was the case, to say Amateur League football as well was involved in as well. But if I wasn't involved in that, definitely, I would encourage me to go, yeah, watch Irish League football. And even more so when we haven't got the English League playing. Mm. When it's finished April, we've got May, June, July, August, almost, well, not August. You're getting 3 clear months of actually support. You encourage people. I was one of the people. I actually proposed that children should get in free to Windsor Park at Linfield matches, and it was accepted at the AGM a few years ago. And that's your life's blood. I've argued this point for the last 15, 20 years. And I've said that at the end of the day, you need to encourage people to come along. And there's too much out there. There's too much for people, young people, to go and entertain elsewhere. I mean, there is so much for them now.
Bill, thanks for your call this morning. Alan Simpson, who many of our listeners will know, I'm sure they are also fully aware that he is a proud supporter of Coleraine. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, young man. How are you, Liam?
Very well. What's the answer to this? I mean, what do you see as the key elements of seeing people coming back to Irish League games, Alan?
Well, I think the answer and the starting point is where you have it in the studio. There are people talking and looking, in fairness, with a positive image, because I do believe, as somebody that goes to Irish League football, that we have a very, very good product. The problem is there's not enough people seeing that product, and it's how we market it and how we get it back, we get people back and more people through the door. It's quite interesting, and I thought it was quite ironic that recently, and it's been well documented, as you know, Joel, and everybody else around the table, that Coleraine have been going through a bit of a slump. But surprisingly, and this was very surprising, is that whenever they weren't getting the results, whenever we were getting beat every week, the crowds kept coming. You know, the crowds didn't dip. And I think it's a lot to do with, and I'm only looking at Coleraine here as a model, is that there's an awful lot of local players, community-based players, playing for the team. So there is that connection between the team and those on the terraces, so that people can actually, you know, commit to them. They know who they are. They're related to them. And don't bring in that other thing, whatever you say about relation. But you know where I'm coming from. It's people understand who they're supporting. And it is, I have to say as well, while I'm on here, is that the Irish League show is a great marketing tool as well for people that want to see and actually see what happens on the pitch on the Saturday. That every single team that we have in the Irish League at the minute have players which are as good, if not better, than players that you can see across the water. And I don't like this across the water thing at all, because I think we have a good enough product here. For instance, tomorrow afternoon at the Irish Cup match between Coleraine and Cliftonville, Stephen Carson, one of the finest players in the Irish League, is bowing out. He's playing his last game. You have the likes of Joe Gormley, you have young Stewart at Glentoran, Heatley at Crusaders. There is a player in every single team in the Irish League at the minute that people will pay in to see, will be excited. There is obviously the family thing to be looked after as well, with the community and letting kids.
I want to go to Ian here, Alan, because he's again involved with, you're involved with a junior team, Ian, is that right?
Yeah, a junior team in Ballymena. It's an adult team, like, and they play in the Saturday morning league.
So is this something again that touches on this idea of you know, so much of the audience are actually involved in other types of football when Irish League teams are playing? Is this your point?
Yes, it is. I rung up. I totally support what Liam Baggett says, and your previous caller there, Bill, he just endorsed everything again, what I was going to say. Well, if anybody's looking, if anybody wants proof of for the need for summer football, you only have to go look at the crowds that friendlies pull in during the summer.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The people starve the football, and they'll go looking football anywhere. They'll want to watch any game.
Roy's also in Ballymena. Would you support a move to summer football, Roy?
I would and I wouldn't, and I'd be a bit concerned about when the big competitions is on, like the World Cup and the UEFA Cup and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, the European Championships or Olympic Games or something on the TV.
Badly in those years. No, but my main point was that the price into some of the stadiums. I mean, I'm a Linfield supporter. We went to Warren Point there on Saturday, and we stood in 6 feet of concrete and paid a tenner in. The length of Glentoran, you know, I wouldn't be a great advocate of. If we went there on Boxing Day, you paid a tenner in, you got a seat. You paid £8 in, you get into the stand, and they reduced their price for the Tyreson. But also things like season tickets. Linfield have a scheme where they run, if you register your child before the end of August, he'll get a free season ticket. You know, if other clubs adopted that sort of thing, then you might start getting the younger people coming back to the game.
Okay, Roy, I don't mean to rush you, but a lot of callers have been waiting. I want to try and squeeze as many of them in as I can before 10 o'clock. Ron's in East Belfast. Morning, Ron.
Good morning, Joel. I was just listening to your programme there about football, and I was just explaining to your, if you ever called in and I was speaking to, that I remember years ago whenever I'm a staunch Linfield supporter, and my brother, he was a staunch Glentoran supporter. And I remember going to the Oval with a Linfield scarf on. He had his Glentoran scarf. After the match, we went into the clubhouse, had a drink, etc.
When was the last time you went to a game, Ron?
About 3 months, 4 months ago.
Right, and how often would you attend?
Well, I would have attended every Saturday.
But now that's sort of fallen away a bit.
It's because of crowd trouble. I've stopped taking my son and all, etc.
Okay, but I need Adrian Tier to come back on that, because we're running out of time. I mean, there was a period of time when crowd trouble was a problem, not just here, everywhere. But do you feel those days are behind you?
I think they're largely behind us, and to be quite honest, I think sometimes the media make a hype of it. I mean, there was a window in the supporters' club bus broken a couple of weeks ago, and you'd have thought the bus was set on fire and people were killed. I think some of the so-called crowd trouble is grossly exaggerated by the media. Yes, we've got problems, but we don't have as many problems as they have in other parts of the world.
Peter Dornan, there's an online survey coming when fans can get involved. Yeah. In 10 seconds, can you direct them towards us?
No, because I know nothing about technology whatsoever. Yeah. What I would say to fans, get out there tomorrow and see a match.
Future for all fans out there to have their say.
On the Northern Ireland Football League website.
Yes.
If you didn't get on this morning, you can get on the website instead. The clock has beaten us.